Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we laid a solid foundation to allowing the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding to the place God desires to take us all to, and that is not to heaven, but to His rest. What would you pay to have God's rest? What would you give? What would you do to have God's rest? The world is looking for this rest, my friend. The world wants this rest. The world needs this rest that is only found in Christ Jesus. Wow. You know, when the world and all of hell seems to be pouring down on your head, and when all around you are losing their way and some even their lives, and all you can do is just stand there with your eyes closed and your head bowed, but you know deep within you that the Spirit of God that wells up and covers your heart and it covers your life. No matter, my friend, what happens, you are in God's place of rest, this resting place, or the rest of God. Historically, after God delivered Israel out of Egypt through a series of great miracles, He brought them to the promised land. But they refused to enter. And why? Because they had discovered there were giants in the land that God Almighty had promised them. And they concluded they were not able to overcome them. Now listen closely. Anytime we are outside the rest of God, we will always be defeated. Wow, that's powerful. Anytime we are outside the rest of God, we will always be defeated. Because only in God's rest is found victory. Outside is found confusion, complexity, and conformity. But worse, they blame God for even bringing them to such a place. They even wondered if they would have been better off if they were in Egypt eating the flesh pots. Now listen again closely. Outside of God's rest, we blame God for our lack, for our inability, and our disobedience. I like that so much, I'm going to say it again. Outside of God's rest, we blame God for our lack, our inability, and our disobedience. Now, the rest of God, my friend, is more than a safe place, as most churches teach. But the rest of God is where we recover from the pains and the anguish and the sorrows of this world. In Hebrews 4:11, Paul teaches, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Hebrews 4:11. And that example of unbelief was the unbelief of the children of Israel. Now, I would ask, was God unaware of the giants in the promised land? Well, no. Did He not realize that it was impossible for Israel to defeat such enemies? Why, yes. Yet God told them to enter the land regardless, and they refused. It is this example of unbelief against which God warns us, His people, today. God tells us to enter into the fullness of Christ, to the complete disregard of our sins, our failures, our weaknesses, our deficiencies, and ourself. He tells us to enter in by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The message all throughout the Bible, the message is clear, the land is given. Now, that's not the land of Israel, oh no, but God has freely given us, His people, all things in His Son, Jesus Christ. He does not ask us to be good enough or strong enough or smart enough or none of that stuff. In fact, God will do a work in us to show us our corruption and our weakness. But then He will say, David, enter by faith anyways. Enter into relationship with My Son and leave yourself behind. Now, listen very closely again and open up your spirit. This is not only a great promise from God that He has for us, but attached to this promise is also a warning. If we will not, now I use we, you know, and that includes myself here, if we will not take possession of what God has given because we think we are unworthy or we are in unbelief, the same unbelief exhibited by the children of Israel, or on the other hand, likewise, if we rush to take possession, to claim it, name it, and all that stuff, if we think we are worthy, then we are, believe it or not, in unbelief, and we will fail. There was only one basis for entering into the fullness of Christ, and that is faith in Him and in what He has done for us. We must put our faith in someone else, and that would be Jesus Christ, other than ourselves. We must step outside of ourselves, step around ourselves, putting aside all of our sins and all of our supposed good, and enter into Christ solely by faith in Him. This is the truth, my friend. But as we have seen, we cannot put faith in Christ until God begins to reveal to us the truth about ourselves. We will only put our faith solely in Christ if we can see we are nothing and He is our all in and all. True faith must be based on seeing the truth, yet about ourselves, but also about Him. Now, God, make no mistake, has His ways of dealing with His children, have they be the disobedient children or the obedient children. Make no mistake, my friend. God knows how to reward and He knows how to punish His children. In either condition, having been obedience or disobedience, God's reaction to our behavior is out from His love. If we are obedient, God loves us, and His way of showing us will be His mercy and His blessings and His favor. And the like. But if our behavior is disobedient, then God's love toward us can only be His judgment and His rebuke and even punishment. Now, both tracks are the whole counsel of God, and both are His love. Setting aside our behavior or a time God has created a very special place, both physically but more spiritually, and that is called the wilderness. Now, I really like the wilderness message. It is the place of our learning and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the place where we can receive power to do that which God wants us to do. In Matthew 4:1, we read when Jesus was led up or was driven, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It says the Father speaking, "This is my well beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," was not enough. It wasn't enough to have the Holy Spirit descending upon him. It was not enough to have John, baptize him. Oh no, Jesus had to go to the wilderness to receive power. Wow. Had to go see, to start his ministry. In Luke 4:14, we see Dr. Luke tells us, "And Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region." On about Luke 4:14. No power before the wilderness, but after the wilderness, after the wilderness, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh, my friend, I hope you get this. The wilderness, those tough times, those dark places, those uncomfortable things that God brings into our lives so that we may grow spiritually, so that there will be spiritual growth and development in us. The wilderness is also the place where we go to learn how to lean on Jesus. But one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in Song of Solomon 8:5, and that is, "Who is he that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on his beloved?" Song of Solomon 8:5. The wilderness is the place where we go to learn to lean on Jesus, where we go through these tough times and we learn that Jesus is our source and He is our strength. And we learn, it is a process too, but we learn to lean upon Him. We learn to cast all of our care, not our cares, but our care on Him because He cares for us. God also uses the wilderness as a place of correction and discipline. Yes, He does. More next week. more next week as we look at the wilderness more in detail and with the children of Israel. This has been David Stahl from Beholding the Glory. Trusting you have a tremendous week, and we will talk to you next week. Amen.